Morning, everyone. It's great to be back. Happy New Year to you all. For those of you that don't know, I'm Femi, and I'm part of the church family here. And I'm going to start by just saying a few words in prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to meet together to worship you. Through your Holy Spirit given to us, allow us to learn more of your love for us today. Amen. So one of the programs that I really enjoy watching at home with Amy is Dragon's Den. It's been pride of the BBC since 2005, 13 years. And one of the reasons why I really enjoy watching it is that it's maintained its stance over the last 13 years as a serious business show. No gimmicks, no spin-offs, just a serious business show. And if you haven't seen it before, what basically happens is people go onto the show and they're entrepreneurs and they pitch ideas to millionaire investors who sort of sit back and listen to their ideas, and they either invest or they don't invest. But they always give them quite clear advice on why they are going to invest or why they aren't going to invest. And the three main reasons over the years of watching it why they don't invest, in my experience, is sometimes they say the ideas will be too easily copied. So they say, well, it's a good idea, but somebody could easily go and do that and then make money out of it themselves, so I'm not going to invest. Sometimes they say the valuation is too high. So somebody will come on and say, I value this hairdressing company or whatever it is at £3 million. And they'll say, no, that's too much. That's not worth that. I'm not going to invest. But sometimes they say, I like the idea, but it's not going to make a big enough impact on a big enough group of people. And a good example from a couple of years ago was something called retractable garden furniture. So just to sort of explain what that was. Imagine you're at home and you've got the family coming around. You can push a button and the garden furniture goes down into the ground, and you've got all sorts of space for the kids to run around and play football or whatever you want to do. And then in the evening, maybe when the kids are in bed, you still want to have your evening meal outside, you push another button, and tables and chairs come out of the ground, and then you've got the opportunity to sit and have your evening meal. Now, I'm sure that you can kind of look at it and think, yeah, it's a reasonable idea. I can see how I might use that once or twice a year. But it's not going to make a big enough difference to your life to spend money on it. And how often do we hear that with Christianity? How easy is it to hear a sermon like Dan's last week about the love available from God and to speak to our non-Christian friends about that and for them to say, yes, I like the idea, I get it, but it's not going to make a big enough difference to my life. It's not going to add anything. I'm already loved by my friends. I'm already loved by my family. Maybe they play sport and they're already loved by their sports colleagues. It's not going to make a big enough difference to my life. And it's that question of will God's love add anything to my life that Paul is answering in Romans 5. So to understand how he's doing that, we need to go back a little bit in Romans 5. And if you look at the start of Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1, it starts with the word therefore. And as with lots of Paul's teaching in the New Testament, starting with the word therefore, we're left 2,000 years on trying to answer that classic Paul of Tarsus question, what's the therefore? And to answer that question, we need to go back a little bit more in Romans. So just this little summary of Romans, where we are so far. Paul is delivering at the start of Romans some bad news. And the bad news is that we're all sinners. He talks about how people are worshipping and serving created things rather than a creator. And he talks about how people know God, but they don't glorify him or give thanks to him. And then as you're sort of reading that, doing your morning quiet time with a cup of coffee, and you're thinking, is Paul talking to me when he's saying this? In Romans 2:3, he makes no bones about it at all. He's very clear because he says, so when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? So that's the bad news. We're all sinners. And then he comes forward into Romans 3 and 4. Paul gives us some good news. And in fact, it's this good news that the whole of the Christian faith revolves around. Because the good news is that it's possible for all of us to be saved. And we come into Romans 3:22, which I'll read for you. The classic verses that I'm sure you've heard before. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So the bad news, we're all sinners. the good news, we can all be saved through belief in Jesus Christ. And then we come into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, Paul tells us about some of the gifts that are available if we receive this good news. In verse 1, he talks about peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he says we'll be able to share God's glory with him. In verse 9, he says we'll be made right in God's sight. And in verse 10, we're told that we can enjoy a friendship with God, the creator of the universe. This is amazing stuff. This is something that we do all need. This is not retractable garden furniture, is it? And then right in the middle of verse 5, we've got chapter 5, we've got the verse we read this morning. And I'll read it again. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And I've got to be quite honest, I was quite apprehensive coming and speaking about the Holy Spirit today, because it's something that I think as Christians we find hard to talk about. Jesus, easy to talk about. He's historically certain. You won't find an ancient historian who doubts the existence of Jesus. He raised people from the dead. He was very clear about why he came. God, maybe slightly harder to talk about, but still, creator of the universe, infinitely powerful, always present. But the Holy Spirit, who even is that? How is God giving the Holy Spirit to us, an expression of his love? Well, to try and answer that question, we're probably going to need someone a bit cleverer than me to explain it. So we're going to take it directly from Jesus. And that's why I chose the second reading, John 13. So in your church Bible, just turn to page 1082, the end of John 13. And while you're looking for that, I'll just put it into context of where we are in this gospel. Jesus has fed 5,000 people. He's healed a blind man. He's raised Lazarus from the dead. But now he's telling his best friends, his disciples, that he's leaving. The person that they love more than anything in the world is telling them that he's about to die. Now, we don't have to work too hard, do we, as people on this earth, to imagine what it's like for someone that we really care about to pass away and to die, because most of us have probably experienced that. Have a look at John 13:33. My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. And then he spends time comforting them. And at the start of chapter 14, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And he also tells these petrified disciples that whoever has faith in him will do even greater things than he's been doing. And of course, we know that went on to be true. And then in John 14:15 comes an explanation of what God is going to leave behind. He starts talking about the Holy Spirit. Have a look at John 14:15. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And I think maybe the first important word here is the word another. Because in the Greek, translating into English, the word another could have two meanings. If I told you that my mobile phone was broken and I was going to go and buy another one, it could mean I'm going to go and buy one that's exactly the same, or it could mean I'm going to go and buy one that's completely different. But in this translation of the word another that Jesus used, it's another exactly the same. A different translation might be, I'll send you another one, another counselor, just like me. So then comes the second important word, which is counselor. What does Jesus mean by that? What does it mean? Well, it comes from the Greek verb, which means parakaleo, which means helper, advocate, support. So if you want a picture of it, imagine you've probably all seen the Tour de France and cyclists cycling along, and every now and then they have a little support car that comes next to them that gives them nutrition, guidance, support. That's the kind of word that Jesus was using here. And that's the Holy Spirit that's available to us as well. I'm not going to say that I completely understand this, because think about it. Already in this gospel, Jesus has said to Philip, if you see me, you'll see the Father. So Jesus is one, but of course he's also saying that he's two. And now he's saying that I'm going to send you another advocate that's just like me. So he's one, but he's two, but he's also saying that he's three, and we're lost, aren't we? And I don't think we'll ever understand the Trinity, this side of eternity. In fact, Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, says that a human trying to understand the Trinity is like an ant trying to understand the internet. And I can associate with that. But I think you might then ask, well, why do we put trust in something that we don't understand? But actually, that's not such an alien concept, is it? We do that all the time. We do it every time that we get on an aeroplane, or every time that we have major surgery. We put trust in something that we don't completely understand. And as humans, what we do is we trust in things that we see evidence for. So then the next question might be, well, what evidence is there that God really has sent down an advocate to be with us while we're here on earth? Well, I believe that there's lots of evidence. I believe there's historical evidence. Think about these petrified disciples being told that the person they love more than anything is going to leave them. Scared, unsure of what he's talking about. Yet these people went on to conquer the ancient world and to spread the news about Jesus. I believe there's evidence through sheer number. 12 scared disciples, and yet 2,000 years later, 2 billion people put their trust in Jesus. Men and women still to this day who leave everything that they have to go and spread the good news. And lastly, of course, personal evidence. Personal evidence that there's an advocate that lives with us while we're here on earth. A couple of weeks ago, one of my best friend's father died. And about 2 weeks after that, he had to go away on a business trip. And he didn't want to go, understandably. And he texted me in the morning saying, can you pray? But he didn't ask me to pray for him, which is what a lot of us probably would have done. He asked me to pray that on that business trip, he might have the opportunity to share the good news about Jesus with his work colleagues. What is it inside somebody that could make them think like that 2 weeks after their father died? I believe it's the Holy Spirit. I believe that something supernatural is going on. So, we're told that God loves us through pouring out his Holy Spirit. And Dan's asked me this morning to open up a little bit and talk about how we can receive that love. So to finish, it's back to the words of Jesus again. Have a look at John 14:23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Friends, this is God, the creator of the universe. This is God, the God that decided on all the chemical reactions that turn a tiny one cell into a human being. This is the God that created laughter, marriage, sex, fun, enjoyment, everything that we enjoy now. This is that God saying that if you love me, then while you're down there battling away, hopefully trying to stay positive if times are hard, or trying to stay humble if times are good, if you love me, then I will make my home within you. And as you sit and think about that, then feel free to worship. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and rescue us from death. Thank you also for loving us so much that while we wait for eternal life with you, we live with your Holy Spirit. Please help us to live our lives in light of these truths and have the confidence to share them with others around us. In Jesus' name, Amen.